Thank you, Chad and Becca. Absolutely beautiful. The power of the cross and what was accomplished at the cross because of God the Son shedding His blood for us. We now have salvation through faith in Christ who atoned for our sin. Jesus paid it all. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Well, we had an exciting day around Sims' household yesterday. I was out having lunch with Pastor John and Pastor Dave Miller, and I get a phone call from my 10-year-old daughter, Grace, and she says, "Daddy, when you coming home?" I said, "Well, baby, you know, I said I'd be home in a little while. I'll be home about an hour." And she says, "Well, we caught a copperhead." "What do you mean you caught a copperhead?" "Where's Maddie, our 4-year-old girl?" "She's out here." "Where's Jake?" "He's out here." "Where's Mommy?" "She's inside." "Where is the snake?" "He's out here. We got him covered up." "Okay, keep him covered up and just go on inside and let's leave him alone." "Well, you can see him when you get back." "Okay, I'll see him when I get back." Well, I was very curious when I got back what it is that I was going to see. Was it some other kind of snake, or was it a little rubber snake, or was it just a tiny snake? I wasn't sure. Well, I got home, and sure enough, we found a copperhead indeed. And he had curled himself up. Emily was going out to plant some flowers. She had a cement flower holder. I'm not a gardener, so bear with me. And then she had two plastic pots with flowers set in them that she was later going to transfer and plant pot in there. And as she lifted out one of the pots, lo and behold, there he was, all curled up in there. A copperhead indeed. Now, my father was a veterinarian, so we've had snakes around. I'm not particularly scared of snakes, but I don't want a copperhead around my children for obvious reasons. I care for them. I want to warn them and protect them as best that I have the ability to do that. And so I had a little teaching moment there, explained to them that I take no delight in the death of any animal. But I was going to go ahead and rid us in the neighborhood that other kids are in of this harm. And so went ahead and killed the copperhead and explained that to the kids and removed the harm. And I say that to you by way of introduction to what I want to talk to you about today is I also care a great deal about not only my kids, but I care about you all very much. And I want to, anytime I have the opportunity to share with you an opportunity to warn and cause you to be protected about a danger that is in our neighborhoods and in our community, our county, even all over the globe, and that is the false religion called Mormonism. And so let me speak to you. I am not here to bash, belittle, or to tease those who happen to be Mormons, but I do want to take the Bible today and share with you what it says about their doctrine, which has been very well documented. Now, you know me, I want to preach through books of the Bible, and I want to talk about what I'm for, not necessarily what I'm against. But in this instance, it requires me to point out some things, because Mormonism is very prevalent, very prominent in the world that we live in. It is one of the fastest growing religions, and I have spent much time talking to Mormons. And I recognize as I hear their testimonies that many of them came out of denominations such as Methodist or Presbyterian or Baptist or whatever because they never heard the truth. They were never saved and never grounded. They were never warned and cautioned about the dangers of false religion. And so I want to do that today. You might liken this time to the Titanic. And what I mean by that is this. If you've ever watched TV, perhaps you've seen their family-friendly commercials on TV. They make Mormonism sound like it's a very family-friendly, loving, kind, community kind of a religious belief system, that everything's good. They're concerned about healthy families and healthy living. They're even going to send you a brand new King James Bible just by simply making a phone call. And it looks good on the surface. Well, the Titanic looked good on the surface right after it struck the iceberg that put a gaping, gashing hole in it that water was pouring through. At that moment, you could have walked around the deck and said, isn't this boat absolutely powerful and wonderful? It is a great place. Look at all the deck furniture. Look at the kitchen. Look at all these wonderful things. But at that time, if you had been willing to just journey several layers and levels below, you would have found out that the ship's going to sink, that the ship's got a big problem and it's going down. Same is true of Mormonism. What appears to be nice and friendly and kind on the surface is indeed part of a ship that's going down. I want you to journey with me today several levels lower to find out that the ship is indeed going down, that the doctrine of the Mormon faith, or the Latter-day Saints, as it's often referred to, is a false religion. I'm not here to bash and belittle, but I want to share with you the truth. And let's get grounded in that today. Now, let me say this about Mormons. The average Mormon has never been confronted with the truth of biblical Christianity. Most Mormons assume that they are in line with the Bible and God. Now, I underline Bible and I use that word very selectively. I don't say Scripture. Now, typically on Sunday, I can say Scripture and you all understand that I'm talking about the Bible. But if you say Scripture in a conversation with Mormons, here's what they're thinking about. They're thinking about the Pearl of Great Price, one of their books that they consider Scripture. They also think the Book of Mormon is Scripture. And, of course, the King James Bible, the Doctrine of Covenants, and also any words that their living prophet has said in the past or makes as a statement now. They have a living prophet, and what he says is equal to Scripture. Now, Paul, in the book of Galatians, gave us an understanding that I want us to settle before us. It says this. Paul said, I am amazed that you are so quickly, you as the believers in Galatia and believers here now, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. It's really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, that which is different than the Scripture here, if someone preaches a different gospel, whether it's a man or an angel, and Satan would be in that category, he's a fallen angel, then let them be accursed or anathema. Very strong word there. So three things let me point out. There is a different gospel. It's not a true gospel. There's a gospel that says you work to earn your salvation. That's a false gospel, a different gospel than the Bible and Paul were preaching. It will be preached, and if anyone does, they are to be accursed. And so let's keep that in mind. Now, Mormons claim that the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the words of their living prophet will in no way contradict the Holy Bible. After all, according to Mormons, God is the author of this continual revelation. Yeah, he started with the Bible, but he's added to the Scripture since then. Now, I shouldn't have to warn you. We just finished Revelation about adding to Scripture. But they have added to Scripture through these other sources, the Pearl of Great Price, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants. They have added to the Scripture. What they're saying is this was just kind of basic. It was more like beginner's arithmetic, but now we've got algebra and calculus, and we have a more purer translation and revelation from God. That's what they say. But they say it doesn't contradict itself, and all of it is Scripture. Mormons claim that they represent authentic Christianity. Okay? They think it's the real deal. Now, the reason why I want to make the statement it's about Christianity compared to Mormonism, there's someone that I was close to at one time who made the statement, isn't Christianity and Mormonism the same thing? Mormonism is like being Methodist or Presbyterian or Catholic or Baptist. It's just another denomination. Absolutely not. It is not just another Christian denomination. It is a false religious system. But yet, Mormons, who document most everything, fortunately, make this statement. Bruce McConkie, in his book Mormon Doctrine, page 513, helps us to understand what they believe. Mormons take every honorable opportunity to herald the views of Mormonism to the world, for they are the pure, unadulterated Christianity of old. Mormonism is Christianity. Christianity is Mormonism. They are one and the same, and they are not to be distinguished from each other in the minutest detail. Now, I want you to remember that statement. They say Christianity is Mormonism, and they are not to be distinguished in the minutest detail. Well, how are we going to find that out? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22, to test all things. We test it. And to hold fast to that which is good, and to abstain from every form of evil. All right? Well, let's take a look at the Mormon doctrine or teaching of God. Mormons believe this about God. God evolved from mortal man to his present state. He was just a man, but has now become and changed into a God. Now, Joseph Smith, who was the founder of this Mormon belief system, in 1820, he goes for a little walk in the woods. And as he's walking out in the woods, by his own testimony, which is recorded in the Pearl of Great Price, chapter 2, he says he was surrounded by darkness, and he was overcome, and then a pillar of light descended in front of him. He was curious and asking. He says, which of the religions, which of the denominations today are right? The voice that came from the pillar said, none of the denominations and religions are right. Don't go with any of them. And it said, all the creeds of Christendom are an abomination. Wait a second. The early church fathers and their writings and all the creeds since then, and Calvin and Zwingli and Luther, and the doctrines that we still have in front of us today from the church councils that speak about the Trinity and the deity of Christ, Athanasius and Arian in the debate there where we distinguish pure doctrine from Scripture. Oh, they say all of those creeds were an abomination to believe and to go with none of them. The voice from this pillar of light gave him direction to start something new. And he, in his own mind, says he was restoring something that had been lost and restoring the priesthood. So in 1820, he gets this vision. By 1830, a lot of detail I'm not covering here. If you've studied, you know there's a lot to this. And he began the Mormon belief system in 1830. Now, Joseph Smith, who founded the Mormon belief system, giving a sermon heard by over 18,000 people and recorded by five Mormon scribes, 2 months before his assassination, which is another interesting story in and of itself, he said this: God was once, as we are now, an exalted man, and he sits enthroned on yonder heavens. I say, if you were to see him today, you would see him like a man, in form like yourselves, in all the person, image, and very form of a man. I am going to tell you how God came to be God. We have imagined that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil. Joseph Smith would go on to say, God was once a man like us, men sitting in this room, and dwelt on an earth, the same as Jesus Christ did, and you have got to learn to be gods yourselves. The same as all gods before you, namely by going from one small degree to another, from a small capacity to a greater one. Now wait a second. If you've walked with the Lord or read any scripture, no biblical Christianity, you should start going, that's a red flag. That doesn't sound like biblical Christianity. And yet that was recorded in the Times and Season, Volume 5, page 613, Mormon Doctrine, page 321, and the History of the Church, volume 6, April 1844, page 305. You see, as believers, we are concerned with orthodox Christianity, okay? And if you've been in my Wednesday night class, you've heard me say this, especially our world religion classes. We are concerned with biblical orthodoxy. What that is, orthodoxy, is two words that are put together. Doxy, where we get our word doctrine, is teaching. Ortho, if you go to an orthodontist, he is concerned with putting braces on you, perhaps, and getting your teeth to be straight. We are concerned with orthodoxy, the straight teaching of God's Word. It is not my opinion. It is not a man's opinion, a pastor's opinion, or the traditions of men that we follow. But what is authoritative is the Word of God. And so we're going to take what they have documented, Mormon doctrine, and press it up against the Scripture and find out if it's lacking. So far, not doing so well. Now, Brigham Young, the successor of Joseph Smith and the one who brought the Mormon church to Utah, he was documented as saying this: "The Lord created you and me for the purpose of becoming gods like Himself. We are created to become gods like unto our Father in heaven." Brigham Young said that, recorded Journal of Discourses, Volume 3, page 93. And this PowerPoint will be online that you can access it if you need these notes. This is just a smattering of some of the research. There is much more that can truly be spoken about. Lorenzo Snow recorded one of the most famous quotes from the Mormon church. He served as past president of the LDS, or Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, recorded in Church News January 16, 1983, on page 14, where he made this quote: "As man is, God once was. As God is, man may become." So ladies, if you're with your spouse, you can look over to him and you can look at him. And if he's a Mormon and he's climbing up the Mormon ladder there, you can understand that he's going to become God one day. That's what they actually believe. And some of you are looking at the person next to you going, "Not a chance." And I know my wife would say, "Not a chance." And I'm glad that's true. Not a chance, because God's Word says so. You might look at Jack Lister and say, "Definitely not a chance." Sorry, Jack, you walked in at the wrong time. Now, but this is what they have recorded. Listen to this statement: "God, our Heavenly Father, was once a child and mortal like we are, and rose step by step in the scale of progress in the school of advancement, and has moved forward and overcome until He has arrived to the point where He is now." I remember having some of the Mormon missionaries in my house and speaking to them. I've had many encounters, and they save their money for their children not to go to college, but so that when they're 19 years old, from the age of 19 to 21, they spend 2 years of their lives just simply evangelizing for the Mormon church. And perhaps they've come to your door and they wear their white shirts, black pants, and a black name tag. And you don't know what their first name is, but it says Elder and then their last name, whatever it may be. And I remember speaking to Elder Jones, who was a 19-year-old redheaded boy with freckles sitting in my living room, and asking him if he actually believed that one day he would become God, like the God that we worship. And with hesitation, I see him swallow the lump in his throat. He looks over at his two friends that are with him, and whether being brainwashed or under the peer pressure, he looks at me with a half-convinced answer and says, "Yes, I'm going to become God." That 19-year-old freckled redheaded boy sitting in my living room thinks he's going to become God because he's been taught that by Mormon doctrine. Are you sure we can't distinguish Mormon doctrine from authentic, genuine Christianity in the minutest detail? I think we can. In fact, the Bible says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man, nor is He the son of a man. It says in Hosea 11:9, God says, "I am God and not man. God has always existed. He is eternal. He has always existed and He has never evolved." It says in Malachi 3:6, "I am immutable. I do not change." I do not change. God doesn't evolve from a man to become a God, nor will man ever evolve and become God. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He has always been and will always be God and not man. Now, don't confuse that with God the Son when he took on humanity at the incarnation, when Jesus Christ, God the Son, took on flesh in order to redeem humanity. Don't confuse that. The second thing about Mormon doctrine I want to show you today, to unveil for you today, is polytheism. Mormons believe in hundreds of thousands of gods in the universe. Brigham Young made this statement, recorded in Journal of Discourse, Volume 10, page 223. He said, man is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in embryo. Gods exist, and we had better strive to become one with them. A plurality of gods exist. Indeed, the doctrine of the plurality of gods is so comprehensive and glorious that it reaches out and embraces every exalted personage. Those who obtain exaltation are gods. Folks, there's no truth to the plurality of gods. In fact, the scripture clearly condemns polytheism. Perhaps you're familiar with the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4, where it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jesus would reiterate that in Mark chapter 12, that the Lord is one. Throughout the scripture, we are taught that God is one. Monotheism, not poly or many gods. So let's look at a couple of passages we find in Isaiah 42, 43, 44, 45, where he speaks about this to his people. He says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Let him declare it and set it in order before me. Do not fear, do not be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. What God is stating here is that he's the first and the last, that there is no other gods beside him. He doesn't know of any other gods in some other universe. There are no other gods. He doesn't know of one. He is the only one true and living God. God says in Isaiah 42:8, I will not share my glory with another. There's not ever going to be another God. He says in Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 6, I am the Lord and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. In Isaiah 45, verses 18 and 21, beautiful passages that speak about the awesomeness of God and the character of God, what he's done. And it says, for thus saith the Lord God, the one who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. This is what he says, I am the Lord and there is no other. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Referring to how God is eternal. He's known it from the beginning because he has always existed. Have not I the Lord? And there is no other God besides me. A just God and a Savior, there is none besides me. Last verse I want to share with you along these lines in Isaiah 46, verses 5 through 9. To whom will you liken me? And the context here is, who are you going to compare me to? Am I to be compared to a man? Who will you liken me to and make me equal that we should be alike? For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Now listen, very important. The difference between genuine biblical Orthodox Christianity and Mormonism is the difference between monotheism and polytheism. And that is a difference that the Bible condemns polytheism throughout. Now, third point of Mormon doctrine that I want you to be aware of. Mormon doctrine of God. Mormon males are striving to become gods. And the reason why Mormons will never make it to godhood is simply because God says so. They're not ever going to become gods. The Bible has made that clear throughout many of the verses we've already shared. But it reminds us of Satan's old lies, doesn't it? Genesis chapter 3, you remember what Satan told Adam and Eve? He says, I want you to go ahead and disobey God. Step outside of what God has revealed. Step outside of His word and His ways, and you eat that fruit. And you can become like God. Satan's still packaging that lie. And that 19-year-old boy that sat in my living room is buying that lie to think one day he's going to be God. One day he's going to be like God. It's the same lie that will keep Mormons out of heaven. Now, who was that messenger of light? What was that pillar of light that was telling Joseph Smith that all the creeds of Christendom were an abomination? I'll tell you who that pillar of light was. It was Satan. I have had friends from seminary and other places that have come out of the Mormon belief system, and they have read the Book of Mormon, and a friend of mine who is now serving as a church plant in Utah, witnessing and reaching out to Mormons, has said, I read that book. I used to be a Mormon. My family has been Mormons for five generations, and the Lord spared me and delivered me out of that. And the Book of Mormon is inspired, but it's inspired by Satan. That it is not from God. It is completely contradictory to the Scriptures. So who was that messenger of light? It was Satan. What does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14? It says, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. He wants to set himself up that he's right, but he's slipping poison in. And he is a deceiver, the Bible says. And he is deceiving many, and they are going contrary to the Word of God. The Bible also says about Satan in 1 Peter 5:8 that he is a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And that is what Satan is doing. And Mormon males will never become God. No person will ever become God. Now, who is the Mormon Jesus Christ? When they're talking to you about Jesus, you need to understand they're talking about a different Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the Bible, though they think it is. According to Mormon doctrine, Jesus is the brother of Satan. Satan and Jesus were fighting over the earth, fighting to who had rights, and Jesus won, and Satan's upset about it. That's what they believe that relationship is, and that Jesus was also a polygamist. He had multiple wives, marrying two of the Marys, and one he married Martha. Jesus was a polygamist. That's the Mormon Jesus. And in terms of the incarnation, when God the Son took on humanity, they say that Jesus was not conceived by the Holy Spirit, as we read in Matthew and also in Luke 2. It says, the Holy Spirit, Mary, will come upon you, and you shall conceive, have a son in your womb, and you shall call his name Jesus. But according to Mormon doctrine, listen to this. When the Virgin Mary conceived the child Jesus, the Father had begotten him in his own likeness. He was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. They believe in a literal sexual union between God and Mary that resulted in the birth of Jesus. And who was the Father? He was the first of the human family. They're talking about Adam. Jesus, our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character who was in the Garden of Eden and who is our Father in heaven. Now remember, from this time forth and forever, that Jesus Christ was not begotten by the Holy Ghost, according to Mormon doctrine, according to Brigham Young. When our father Adam came into the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a celestial body and brought Eve, one of his celestial wives. And so, ladies, if you desire to be in the Mormon church, you will become one of many celestial wives for your husband, with the idea of taking on a separate universe. It's a franchise business. You'll take on a separate universe, and you're going to repopulate your own universe with many other celestial wives with your husband. That's what Mormons believe. And I haven't even peeled back much of all the inconsistencies and errors and craziness behind many of their beliefs about the different planets that are involved and the levels of heaven and being baptized for the dead and the holy undergarments that they wear. It is unbelievable if you're willing to journey and look into the problems that exist with this false belief system. Hopefully you'll get a taste of that today. But they say that the one that had the celestial wives, Adam, he is our Father and our God, the only God with whom we have to do. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, page 50 and 51. Now, obviously this contradicts the Bible, but Brigham Young is their prophet. And Mormons cannot deny him because what he said is Scripture. And they cannot deny him and stay in the Mormon church. And he gave that as a sermon, as you see documented in many places right there. Brigham Young would go on to say, I have never yet preached a sermon and sent it out to the children of men that they may not call it Scripture. Folks, I promise you, I'll never say that. The words of a man are not the words of God. Now, they also state that the blood of Christ is not sufficient to atone for all sin. Brigham Young would say this about the insufficiency of Christ's sacrifice. He said, there is not a man or a woman who violates covenants made with God that they will not be required to pay that debt. The blood of Jesus Christ will never wipe that out. Your own blood must atone for your sin. The judgment of the Almighty will come sooner or later, and every man and woman will have to atone for their own sin. He would go on to say, I could refer you to plenty of instances where men have been righteously slain in order to atone for their own sin, to save themselves. This is loving our neighbor as ourselves. Did you get that? This is how we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. If your neighbor needs help in getting saved, then help him. Help him shed his blood. If he wants salvation and it's necessary to spill his own blood on earth in order to be saved, then help him. Then spill it. That is Mormon doctrine. Now you say, now that's ludicrous. They don't believe that. Actually, they do. The ones who are familiar with their own doctrine. In fact, if you're old enough, perhaps you remember in the late 70s, Gary Gilmore was a Mormon who was proven guilty of murder, convicted of murder. And he was in Utah. And at that time, the attorney general was going to call the governor of Utah and ask for a stay of execution. But he did not, because he knew the Mormon governor would say he needs to die a death by firing squad so that his blood would shed and that he would then thereby atone for his own sin. And this became a movie by Norman Mailer, The Executioner's Song, of how Gary Gilmore was shot to death firing squad to atone for his sin. He atoned for his sin by the shedding of his own blood. This is Mormon doctrine, and it is not consistent with what the Bible teaches. What does the Bible say about the blood of Christ? Well, it says in many places, but one, 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, it says, but if we walk in the light as God, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Christ, the bloodshed sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God, was sufficient to satisfy and to pay for all of your sin, past, present, and future. His substitutionary blood shedding death was sufficient to cover all of your sin. You don't have to shed your blood to atone for your own sin. Now, lastly, I want to point out this, and then we close. The Mormon doctrine of salvation. Mormons believe that salvation comes through immersion baptism in the Mormon church, obedience to the commandments of God, membership, and good works. And this is what is stated, Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 2 in Mormon Doctrine, page 670. It says, if it had not been for Joseph Smith, the one who had this vision, this light that came down, this pillar of light that came and spoke to him, if it had not been for Joseph Smith and the restoration, there would be no salvation. That flies in the face of everything the Bible teaches. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. It's not through the Mormon church. It's not through Joseph Smith. It's through Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. He is sufficient. He is the Savior. But they say that there is no salvation outside the church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, recorded in their documents. They would also record this, that salvation is a process of self-perfection in and through the Mormon church. You must earn and work for your salvation through membership in the Mormon church. It's a gospel of works. The Mormon understanding of salvation is completely contrary to Orthodox Christianity's understanding of salvation. These contradictions are found throughout the Bible. For example, and you can see those there, I want to read a couple of them to you. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the Bible says this, for by grace, not membership in a Mormon church, not works, but God's grace, by grace you have been saved through faith, faith in Jesus Christ, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works. You cannot do anything to merit favor toward your salvation. It is a gift. God has done the work. Jesus has died on the cross. We can receive Christ as our Savior, and that is sufficient. For the Bible says in the verse below, as you see, he who has the Son has life. It doesn't say anything about church membership. It doesn't say anything about church membership in the Mormon church or anything about holy undergarments or anything along those lines. It says he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. John would go on to write, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life through that belief and that faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel has the power of God unto salvation. Now, let me give you some closing thoughts. Very important that you understand this, because there are copperheads in your neighborhood. And I want you and your families and your children to be protected from this. So this is a warning. This is taking the Bible and letting other things press up against it to determine truth. There is a whole lot more about the LDS, Latter-day Saints, that I have not covered in this brief study. From anything from its beliefs and statements on African Americans, polygamy, celestial wives for men who become gods, the multiple editions and translation issues with the Book of Mormon, who they said it was the most purest translation, but it has, at last count, 35 major revisions. They have made statements like Jesus was born in Jerusalem. They have many inconsistencies and errors, causing the 35 additions to their book. Well, not only that, but the documented stories of Joseph Smith reveal further dangers of this false belief system. But I want you to remember that those in this deceitful and false religion, they are not the enemy. They are deceived by the enemy. Let me clarify what I mean by that. Are they dangerous? Yes. Do I want you to expose yourself and your families to them? Not if you're not prepared. I don't want anyone to be taken away into deceit. Be grounded in the Word. Be grounded in truth, that you and your children may not be taken away into lies and to deception, as many of them have become. But they are not the enemy. They have been deceived by the enemy. So what do we do about it? Well, pray for them and love them and attempt to share the gospel with them. Point out the inconsistencies and the errors in their belief system without bashing and belittling and teasing them. It's very difficult because they are grounded in to this erroneous false belief system. I want to share a story. The end of a study we did, very similar to this, but on a Wednesday night where we had a little bit more time to discuss, a young lady came up at the end of the class time, and she said, with tears in her eyes, she said, this is the first time I've ever been in this church. And I came here tonight because I knew you were speaking about Mormonism, and I'm a Mormon. And I want you to know that I expected you guys to tease and to make fun of Mormons, and you didn't do that. And she said, you guys, I can tell your love for truth and your love for people. And I say that to say is, nobody is ever going to enter the kingdom of God. You're not going to win anybody to Christ by teasing and making fun of them. That's true of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. So you can understand and learn a lot of these things, but you have to use them in the right way. You can win an argument, but lose the war. You can win that battle and lose the war. And it's important for us to pray for, to love, and to share the truth of the gospel with these who are deceived so that they might be saved. That is our desire. Very important for you to be back next week as we talk about Jehovah's Witnesses. You'll hand me that book that I put there. It's right there on that clipboard. I made available this resource to you because I just said we haven't been able to go in much detail. This is one of the best books I've read. Very easy to read. Reasoning from the Scriptures with the Mormons by Ron Rhodes. He's also got one on Masons and also got one on Jehovah's Witnesses. I'll have that available to you next week. But there are books out there. Costs us $10. Just passing it along. Grab one for $10 on the way out. If you want to learn more about what Mormons believe. And there's other resources as well, but I want to recommend this one to you. And I lift up this scripture from 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22 that I quoted earlier. The Bible tells us as believers, we're to know the truth. And it says, test all things. What do we test it against? The Bible. The original scripture, the canon of scripture that was closed after Revelation. Test all things. Hold fast, embrace that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Let us do that as believers. Let us know the truth. Let us contend for the faith. We'll talk about Jehovah's Witnesses next week. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word that gives us truth, that we can take the revealed truth of your word and press up against it other places and other sources that claim to have authority, and find out if they're true or not. Lord, we thank you that your word has been revealed to us in the scripture and that we can press it up and we can protect ourselves from error. Lord, Jesus, when you were with us, you spoke to the disciples and it has been recorded in scripture, constantly warning against false teachers. And I pray for the protection of your people today that this would serve as a warning and bring understanding to those who come to our doors in the name of the Mormon faith, a false religious system. Lord, thank you for helping us to expose it for what it is through your word. Lord, we ask your blessings on our understanding of all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. We transition to a time of invitation. If you're here today and maybe you just visited today and you heard about the bloodshed sacrifice of a Savior who loves you, you say, honestly, I don't know for sure if I died today that I'd spend eternity in heaven. I've been trusting in a religion or a denomination, but I haven't trusted in Christ, who's the Savior of the world. If you desire to be saved today, to make that decision, listen to me. Jesus is available today. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never trusted Christ, He is available and you can be saved today through faith. And you shall be saved according to the authority of His Word. You need to make that decision in just a moment when we stand and sing, come and grab my hand and say, Jesus, I'll know what you're talking about. If you're here today and you want to be a part of this family of believers, did you know that God's called us to that? God has called us to be a part of a local church where we can give and go and use our spiritual gifts to advance the kingdom of God. If you're outside of a family of believers, if you're not a part of a local church, and God is leading you here, I'm excited about that. You come and grab my hand and say, family. That's how you identify and say, I'm identifying with this family of believers here at the Creek. I believe in what we believe as a family, the power of God's word and the power of prayer and the power of the gospel, the authority of scripture. If you desire to join, come and grab my hand and say, family. If you're here today and you have a burden on your heart, you want to come to the altar and pray with one of our pastors, elders, or church leaders. You do that as the Lord is stirring your heart, you respond. As we stand now, and as we sing.